Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. Today is Sunday the 17th of March 2024, the fifth Sunday in Lent. And for those who observe such things, it is also St. Patrick's Day. And we'll remember him a little bit later in this broadcast. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We gather in person on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, and we're pleased to bring you this broadcast of the Word of Grace. You can also find us on YouTube and on Facebook, where we live stream our services. Here are words from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Let us pray. Creating God, loving Christ, guiding Spirit, with the promise of spring and new life awakening, you wake us from our slumbers. You are faithful to us through every season of the year and every season of life. The hope you offer in Jesus Christ draws us together as your Spirit rises within our hearts. Even as we follow the Jesus story and the cross looms on the horizon in our readings and our reflections, we praise you once again for Jesus' courage and compassion, which, true now as then, bring renewal to us in the midst of all our challenges. We praise you, O God, for such love that will never let us go. Gracious and loving God, as we draw closer to the cross, we recognize ways we fall short of your hope for us. We get lost in our own concerns and neglect to show love, even to those right beside us. We find some people too difficult to care for, and we think others unworthy of your love and ours. Forgive us, and renew a right spirit within us, so that we find the courage to go on and the compassion to reach out in your name. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friends, trust that peace and forgiveness are God's gift to us this day in Jesus Christ. Let us be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit that moves within the hearts of all who believe and trust in him. Loving God, by the power of your Spirit, open our hearts to receive your word, speaking through the scriptures. Reveal your truth for our lives and our times, through Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen.
We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of his name. We've fallen deeper in love with you. You've burned this truth in our land. Songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven.
We are following the Gospel readings according to the Revised Common Lectionary, and today we reach John's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 20, where Jesus is approached by some Greeks. John's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Love lifted me.
Best songs, faithful, loving service to Him belongs.
Love to me.
At our church's recent Bible study on a Friday morning, I brought along a passage that was written in the Greek language, the language of the New Testament. That's one of the kind of nerdy, geeky things that ministers sometimes do. Hopefully, we stretch a congregation's knowledge and add to their faith. That was certainly my intention. But sometimes it can be about showing off our knowledge and learning. One of the participants said, wait for it, it's all Greek to me. What does Greece, the country, mean to you? Perhaps the Olympics happening in Paris this coming summer. Perhaps the Parthenon at Athens, that's a big temple overlooking the city. Perhaps stories of myriad ancient gods fighting with one another, or philosophers on street corners or in market squares. The ancient Greeks believed that the truth about things was revealed to human beings through their eyes, particularly in beautiful and bright forms, and even more particularly in the bright and beautiful form of the human body. I'm sure that many of you will have seen pictures of those strong and statuesque young men carved in white marble, or of slender women draped in jeweled finery with garlands in their hair, usually in some state of semi-undress. But such figures represented far more than an ideal for human beauty. They also represented the Greek understanding of God. For them, God was exactly like one of these statues, strong beyond all strength, glorious and bright with the brightness of the sun, beautiful such that mortals would desire to be joined with God, but also distant and impervious to any kind of suffering or pain. Now in the passage from John's Gospel, who asks to see Jesus? Some Greeks. And maybe because they are Greeks, they might be hoping to see a particular kind of Jesus, a Jesus who's like one of their Athenian statues of the human form divine, a strong and noble Jesus, a Jesus whose form is beautiful in that classical Greek sense, a Jesus who shines with divine light and ignites their desire for him, a Jesus who is clearly more than human, who somehow sails above the ordinariness of human pain and regret and grief in some kind of cool divine inscrutability. Maybe that's the kind of Jesus in your Sunday school books, a European white Jesus of pure alabaster skin. No spots or pimples on him, no marks on his flesh. John argues that the human form of God is not strong and beautiful, nor is it impervious to the ravages of ordinary human life, the passing of time, the reality of evil, or of human suffering. I haven't met too many carpenters in my life, but every carpenter I have known carries in their hands the marks of their trade, the scars, and maybe a shortened or missing finger or two. According to John, the human form of God is the crucified Jesus, a suffering man hanging from the most vile instrument of torture of the ancient world. A man vulnerable to being troubled in soul, a man vulnerable even to death. In describing Jesus like this, John's Gospel effects a translation which would have been scandalous for the Greek thinkers of his time. Beauty, he declares, no longer has anything to do with the classical forms of the Olympic body or the Olympian gods, objects of erotic desire as they were. The beauty of God, he declares, is revealed in its opposite, in that which strikes the ordinary gaze of the human eye as that which is least desirable of all, the weak ones, the ugly ones, the suffering ones. For it is these to whom the world denies value that God ascribes the most value. Unlike ourselves, God actually loves the unlovable and desires the undesirable. And such love is able to raise a person from despair to hope, from darkness into light, from misery to blessedness. Such love is able to bring a sense of the beautiful, even to those of us who, in the world's eyes at least, live not so beautiful lives. Last weekend was the Oscars, and hard-working thespians, who at their best bless our lives with stories and imagination and entertainment and ideas made flesh, presented themselves with what we could call Hollywood glamour. Perfect hair, perfect clothes, perfect makeup. The thinking of the ancient Greeks has not gone away. It's everywhere present, even today with us, and it visits us in every commercial which represents happiness and the good life in terms of the beautiful forms of sculptured bodies and impervious to age or to the suffering of the poor and the brokenhearted. The thinking of the Greeks visits us in our cultural obsession with seeing as the preeminent way of knowing what is true. If we see it, even if it is only on the TV, we believe it. If we don't see it, then we don't believe it. These are the realities we live with every day, and they're not so different from the realities of John's Greeks who came to see Jesus. Instead of looking at the world through the light of our televisions, God invites us to look at the world with the dark and contrary light that comes from the cross of Jesus. For John says that the cross is the visible form of the divine glory, and therefore a unique and powerful critique of all that our world would consider beautiful. And under the paradoxical power of this dark kind of light, even scenes of torture become signs of resurrection. Sinners become capable of sainthood. Misery becomes capable of joy. And ugliness becomes capable of beauty. All because God's love empowers us to let go of the way we see things with our eyes, in favour of a seeing by faith, in which the beautiful promise of things to come into focus. Today is St. Patrick's Day, and Patrick was born at the end of Roman rule in Britain. His birthplace is not known with any certainty. Some of the stories about Patrick, like his driving the snakes out of Ireland, come from hundreds of years after his death and have no historic value. Fossils tell us there was no snakes in post-glacial Ireland. According to the Confession of St. Patrick, at the age of 16, he was captured by a group of Irish pirates who took him from Britain to Ireland, where he was enslaved and held captive for 6 years. And Patrick writes that the time he spent in captivity was critical to his spiritual development. He explains that the Lord had mercy on his youth and ignorance and afforded him the opportunity to be forgiven his sins and convert to Christianity. After escaping slavery, he heard the call of God and after training went back to Ireland as a missionary. The 40 days of Lent running up to Easter is used as a time of seeking the Lord by many Christians. Patrick spent his 6 years of captivity in a long Lent period of seeking God. If the present days of your life seem like a captivity, an ugly, non-beautiful season of your life, then use them as a Lenten time to seek the Lord while he may be found, to let the Lord beautify and fill with grace these difficult seasons. What did the Greek say? What should we say? Sir, we would see Jesus.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you have taken us by the hand and offered yourself to us in a sacred covenant. You're the creator of all things. You knew the earth and its inhabitants before their birth. You led a suffering people from slavery to freedom and offered to be their God if they would be your people. Though we broke our vows to you and pursued evil, in gracious love you offered us a new covenant embodied in your Son Jesus, who was made perfect on the path of obedience, even in the face of suffering. Lifted up on a cross to die, he has drawn all people to himself, and raised from the dead, he has become the source of eternal salvation for all who live in obedience to the new law you have written on our hearts. Loving God, in this time of when there is so much to be anxious about, we pray for the world you love. Send your healing spirit to bring peace with justice to the troubled places of the world. Bring care and comfort to those who have been hurt in conflict, wisdom to those who seek to end hostilities, and courage to those who advocate for the most vulnerable. Send your healing spirit to people we know and to the earth you love, and we remember before you friends in grief, those suffering illness and all waiting for treatment, those facing difficulty at work or finding work, disagreements in our church or community, concerns about the environment we depend upon. Lord, we pray for the continuing ministry of the church in our neighbourhoods and around the world. As we move towards our celebration of Christ's resurrection, send your healing spirit to raise our hearts and our hopes with the promise of new life in Christ. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain in us all a willing spirit. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. And finally, a prayer ascribed to St. Patrick. May your days be many and your troubles be few. May all God's blessing descend upon you. May peace be within you. May your heart be strong. May you find what you're seeking wherever you roam. May the strength of God pilot us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the word of God direct us. May thy salvation, O Lord, be always ours, this day and for evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.